Well, amen and oh my. If you haven't picked up on it yet, we are going to celebrate, and we are going to celebrate tonight the message of Christmas, which quite simply is Jesus. It's Jesus. It is always Jesus. Would you pray with me? Father, we come before you now in the middle of the strangest Christmas that many of us could ever have imagined, and we are so grateful that you are with us. We're so grateful that this is more than a story. I believe this story is true to the depths of my being. God, I pray now that we would continue to just explore your word, to think about things that you would have us to think about, and to continue to worship and continue to celebrate, for it is always going to be about your son, Jesus. And right now, I'm asking that all of us who are gathering here from so many different places will hear what you have to say to us tonight, and that we will respond to Jesus, your son, always Jesus. It is in his name that we pray this. Amen. If you weren't here earlier or I missed you, my name is Greg. I get to be one of the pastors here at The Crossing, and we are just so, so grateful that you joined us here, really from across the globe, if you really look at who it is that's with us. So welcome. That verse that was at the end of the awesomeness that we just experienced comes from the most famous Christmas passage there is. It's in Luke chapter 2. And if you look at Luke, it is the Gospel of Luke, and that's a really important word for us. Around here, we understand that the word gospel, as it's used particularly in that era, which let's say that book was written late 50s, mid-60s AD, somewhere in that range. The gospel back then, a gospel was a message that would come to you from a distant battlefield of some victory, or maybe a message of good news that happened from faraway Rome. That is what a gospel was. It was a message of good news. And that's exactly what we see this here in this story in Luke chapter 2. So let's just now go back into the story. Luke chapter 2. We'll start with verse 8. So I want you to hear these words. You don't want to hear me read these words. Let's try it this way.
That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people.
The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped in snuggly strips of cloth, laying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God, the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased."
Okay, cute, Christmassy, beautiful, yes, yes, and yes. But I don't want you to miss the point that what those wonderful kids were reading to us is loaded with truth. It is loaded with meaning. And I want us to just take a look at some of the words in that passage. First of all, fear not. I don't think it's an accident that fear not is the most, you know, prevalent command that you'll see all throughout the Bible. Maybe God was actually anticipating how many times we would keep bumping into our fears. Let's come back to that in a little bit. Behold. Now, that's a very dramatic word. Behold. It kind of feels like you're a Shakespearean actor or something, but the word really means something. It means to see. It means to perceive. It means that you're going to pay attention. You're going to you know, we would say, you're going to wrap your mind around this. You're really going to settle in. So I would invite you, bring your brain along for this journey that we're on. And then really, it comes down to this. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. I tell you what, let's go over here to this screen. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, who is Christ the Lord. Now, what I want us to do for just a minute is to understand that word good news here that you see is actually the very same word in the Greek for gospel. Since we already know what a gospel is, this is a message that these angels are giving of good news. They're delivering a message to these stunned shepherds. Have you ever received a message from someone that it just it brought you such relief. It was so good that it was like, ah, that's exactly what I needed to hear. Or maybe it was something very simple that just made you smile at just the right moment. Have you ever received that kind of message from someone? I'm guessing you probably have. I'm guessing you're wanting and maybe longing to receive some of those kinds of messages even now, today, this season. What if we flipped it around for some of us, though? Have you ever been the person who gave a message like that, who delivered a message like that to someone? I don't know if it was a text, if it was a phone call, whatever it might have been, but it was your way of just saying, hey, I'm with you. I haven't forgotten. What a cool thing for us to be able to do that. In fact, we're now going to give you that opportunity. You remember back when the morning news shows had the glass behind the people that were talking up front, and people would come up there, particularly in New York, and they would kind of hold these signs up and say, hey, Mom, we got engaged, or we made it, or go team. And it was just a little message that they could get to someone else. We want to give you the opportunity to do that right now to other people who are watching and joining us in our community of faith, because some of us are feeling really disconnected from each other right now, this Christmas in particular. So I want you to have a chance here to reach out to some of your friends and folks that you normally would see here at the Crossing. Or how about this? You may know that there is someone joining because you invited them and you're not getting to be with them this Christmas because of all sorts of things that are going on in our world. This is your chance to actually send them a message like that. How do we do it? Well, what we want you to do is to text us with that pic, and we're giving you how you can do that right now. And you're saying, well, wait, I didn't know. This is all happening so fast. It's okay. Just send someone out of the room for a piece of paper. I guarantee you there's a box from Amazon in your garage. Just go run and get it. Tear it up. Just use a part of it. Get yourself a marker. I'll tell you what, I'm going to do one here right now for my mom, who's going to be spending Christmas alone for the very reason that this whole season is messed up. So you guys go ahead, send somebody out, and I'm going to write her a message, and then we're going to look at these later, and we'll show you just exactly how we're going to view those. Okay. So there's my message. Now, you do that, and then towards the end, we're going to take a look at these, and to be honest with you, at the very end of the end of the end, we're going to just keep playing some Christmas music. You're going to leave your TVs on, and from our Christmas Collective, our artists that dropped a CD a couple of years ago, just let the music play, and we're just going to scroll all of the messages that we're going to give to each other, all right? But now, let's just jump back into the message that we see in this scripture. Why was this such good news? Well, what the angels say is because a Savior was born. A Savior was born. I don't need a Savior. I mean, that's what some of you are thinking, isn't it? I mean, I'm doing the best I can. I'm doing pretty good. I guarantee you I'm doing better than my neighbors around the corner, that guy at work. Some of you right now, you're not going to say it out loud. Please don't. But some of you right now are sitting in a room with a whole bunch of family, and you're going, I guarantee I'm doing better than the guy at the end of the couch. You ever met my Uncle Ernie? He's a piece of work. No, I have not met Uncle Ernie, but I just want to say to you, with all due respect, when you say, I don't need a Savior, what you're saying is, I don't need Christmas, because the message of Christmas is a Savior was born. A Savior was born who is Christ the Lord. Wait a minute. So the Lord was born? Yeah, that's the staggering message that the angels are delivering. Somehow, God the Son steps into the story and is born. I mean, and as Jesus grows up, that is exactly how he sees himself, as God in the flesh. He starts to say and do things that really only God would do. He forgives people of their sins. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And then, of course, those eye-popping miracles. Now, here we go. We need to say this. We usually do around Christmas. This story is drenched in the supernatural. Some of us struggle with the supernatural, and I understand why. It's something, but let me put it to you this way. Some of us think that we can't even go very far in this idea of a life with God because we think we've got to let go of some things that we're really very convinced of, like some of the findings in science. You see, some people are believing the lie that you have to commit to either a science-hating religion or a religion-hating science. And that's simply not true. That's a false choice. There is more to this. I promise. I'm so grateful for Dr. Francis Collins. He was the head of the Human Genome Project, probably one of the most significant scientific accomplishments ever. He is now the director of the National Institute of Health. Very smart guy, just won the Templeton Prize. He is a world-renowned scientist. He's also a Bible-believing, science-loving, Jesus-following fella who tells you you don't have to pick between science and faith. You don't have to check your brain at the door to explore who this God is. You see, I do think that there is evidence that God exists. And if you can get to the place, and we'll talk about that if you want. We love that conversation. But if you can get to the place where you say, okay, there's more to this than I can explain, and there is a God, a creator of the universe, who is actually not bound by the universe, which means he gets to do and say as he pleases, well, you start to get to a place where you can understand, at least logically, how something like this could happen. It's still mind-blowing, but it's a logical progression of thought. And I think one of the most amazing miracles that we see in the Christmas story is that God chose to be with us, that God enters into the story. The infinite somehow reduces into the finite form of someone who is with us and still so gloriously different from us. I want you to think of the distance, the span that God covered to be with us. You remember back when we used to travel? I don't know if it was, you know, if you loved like car trips and road trips, or if you like, you know, getting on a plane and going somewhere. But we usually all have these stories of, you know, boy, I remember that time or that year, and we went from point A to point B, and I can't believe we covered all of that ground. And those are such fun stories. I love hearing those. I will just give you one really quickly. There was a time I wanted to be with my family on the 4th of July at this beautiful lake in the Ozark Mountains. And to get to them, I was in Thailand. It was in a small city in Thailand. And here was my flight. Here was the way I got to them in the course of 24 hours. From a small city in Thailand, flew to Bangkok, Thailand, flew to Delhi, India, flew to Newark, New Jersey, flew to Chicago, Illinois, flew to Branson, Missouri. From Thailand to Branson. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you take that trip, I took it with a buddy, you don't want to check your luggage. You really want to carry on, because there's just way too many opportunities for disaster there. My point is, that's nothing compared to the distance that God closed to be near us. Now, why would he do that? Well, of course, to be close to us, so that we could learn from him, so that we could hear his words, so that we could understand him even better. But really, it all does come back to that word Savior. I mean, it really is all about this Savior who is born. God enters into the story to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. You see, it really comes down to this idea that God is going to actually make things right between the two of us in a way that only he can do. If I were to really look at some of the things that you see in the scriptures, in the book of Hebrews, it says that Jesus became flesh and blood so that God could actually die to break the curse of death that's in the story. When you look at the grand, great story of the Hebrew scriptures leading up what we would call the Old or Older Testament, Isaiah 53 describes in graphic, shocking detail, 7 centuries before Jesus died on the cross, what he would endure. You see, that was always the plan. Jesus is going to take upon himself the consequence of our rebellion, of what we've done to each other and to God himself in this mysterious, transcendent moment we call the cross. Maybe one of the grandest miracles of Christmas is that Jesus chose to do this knowing how it was all going to end. Because I promise you, the manger always led to the cross. That's why we celebrate the way we do around here. That's why we get, it's how we're so undone at Christmas. Because for so many of us, it's really, really personal. I mean, think about it. How much does God love us anyway? Oh, I am just so grateful to be a part of a church that is outrageously generous in these unprecedented times. And yes, I use that word. But I love that song. It's a perfect song for this. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her, what? Her king, her king. Even that word is tucked into this message from the angels. It says, for unto you a child is born who is Christ the Lord. Christ is a Greek way of saying a Hebrew word, Messiah. And Messiah is the anointed one. So what we're really saying here is that Jesus is king, because that's who gets anointed, is the king. He is the king. Jesus is king. And when Jesus rules, there's peace. Now, this king business is still going to be difficult for some of us, because frankly, it's one of those concepts that is we're not sure that we like this idea of Jesus being king. For some of us, the idea of God in general, it's not an intellectual hurdle that we're trying to get over. It's really more of a matter of the heart. Now, I want us to go back over to this LED screen that's here, because I think we have it and we should just use it. In fact, what we were thinking about when we were planning it is, for this next section, we should just get some of our best artists, and if you're at the Crossing, you know how blessed we are, some of our best artists to help us explain this next section, okay? So here we go. I like to be the boss of me. In fact, another way to put that would be, I'm the king of my own little world. Now, that's really awkward, and nobody I know would say that out loud, but that is kind of how we live our lives. And then when you start to look at the rest of the world and the history of humanity, the history of us, this is who we are. It's about me, and it's about mine, and it's only going to be my way, and it starts to explain a lot. But what we're essentially doing is we're ignoring God's way, which is best, and we're ignoring God. We're saying thanks, but no thanks, and this wreaks havoc. This is why the world is broken. And I don't think anybody would argue with me today that the world is broken. When people fight and struggle with each other, when vows are broken and friends lie to each other, when people ridicule or exclude someone else, when we're at a place where threats are spewed and violence erupts, when we say things online or in person that leave deep wounds with people, when we're at a place now where the way we are treating one another sometimes is so outrageously wrong, the world stays shattered. Now, I will tell you this. The story of the Bible is the story of a king who returns. You see, Jesus will return. I actually believe that. I think Jesus is coming again, and this is what will bring us peace. This is what will bring us a restoration. In fact, the Hebrew word for peace is shalom, and that word means more than an absence of conflict. It's a kind of wholeness, a kind of put back togetherness, and I believe that's where this story is heading. But in the in-between time, and that's where we are, we're waiting for the return of the king. Jesus calls us to something that is so profoundly personal. It'll help me with that end of the story. In fact, I don't want to face the end of the story without this. But it also provides something for which I am longing, like, right now. Like, I need this right now. And it comes down to this. Am I willing to admit that God loved me so much that he sent his son? And honestly, it's better if he's in charge. You see, until we admit that, we're not at peace with God. Now, when we do admit that, oh my goodness, now you need to hear me. I'm not promising you that when you come to Jesus that all of your problems and pain goes away. I'm not. We don't say that around here. Jesus tells us otherwise. We know that as we face this world, we're going to still hit storms and we're still going to hit struggles. But once you have come to him, there, you don't have to face it alone. He's with you. That fear not command that we see all throughout the scriptures, honestly, it's almost always followed by this, because I'm with you. Fear not, because I'm with you, because I haven't forgotten you. Even in this story, it's fear not, because the Savior is born. He has come to be with you. Gang, when we can admit that, when we can embrace that, that's where the deep healing, that's where it happens. It's like coming home. It is such a relief.
I have come from so far away. Down the road of my own mistakes, turn to stone if you could hear. pray, oh Lord, keep me in your reach. How I've longed for these wasted years to outrun all the pain and fear, turn to stone from my uncried tears, and now it's your grace I see. And love won't compromise. It's a gift, it's a sacrifice, my soul renewed, and my heart is released, 'cause in you I'll find my peace. A wondrous child of whom the angels sing, you know my joy, you feel my suffering. Shining star, make this love you bring so bright that I may believe that my way will not be lost from now on. That river's cross, my soul renewed, and my spirit is free, because in you I'll find my peace. I'm
not kidding you, man. I just want to come over and hug you. I hate this distance.
I know, me too.
But when I hear you sing, like, from that place, can you explain that a little bit? I mean, I know it's God giving you something, just like it was from all of our other worship leaders, but what's going on there?
Yeah, so a couple of days before we were starting rehearsal, I was driving on my way out here to church, and just thinking about the song and the phrase, Christmas will look different this year, is something that I've wrestled with, because I don't want it to look different.
Right.
I want things to be a certain way, and it's not. And so I think as I was singing that, and that last line, in you I'll find my peace, just like, wow, okay, so that's where it is. And in every song, I think that the Bible tells us about singing with understanding, and like, I finally got it. Like, okay, I can surrender this to you and find peace.
Okay, okay, okay. So, wow. So first of all, I wish I could just drop into song in the middle of an explanation like that. But secondly, man, but you believe this. It's like, you believe this. And I tell people this. And so, first of all, thank you. Thank you. And you're right on where we're going next. But like, you can celebrate Christmas. You can like have really sweet moments with your family. But until you believe this is true, until you know that you know that you know this is true, that's where the peace is.
That's, right.
That's what you're saying, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Thank you, man. Thank you, Aaron. I would also suggest it is where, last word, the joy comes from. It's really interesting to me that when you look at this passage, you can't help notice that joy is all over the place. I bring you good news of great joy. A little bit later, the shepherds hear this chorus of these angelic beings lighting up the nighttime sky. And what is it that they're saying? They're praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. These angels are undone by what they see God doing for humanity. How about humanity? Can we, like, could we get a little riled up about this? Could we begin to celebrate this? For me, it takes me back to a word that we've used and heard a bunch tonight. Hallelujah. Now, some of us are very comfortable with that word. Some of you are a little uncomfortable with that word, and you're just not sure what to do with it. I'm telling you, it's a perfectly good biblical word, an ancient word that means, in essence, praise God. You praise God. So that's what you do. We praise God. We praise Him in our worship. We lift our hands to Him in gratitude. We cry out in awe. We pray. We cry. Yes, we do this together. We give outrageously. And I would say this, we laugh and we enjoy what God has done for us. Now, I believe it was Dallas Willard who said this, but you need to remember that God enjoys watching you enjoy what He gave you. Now, those of you who are parents, you already know you're going to experience this. I mean, this is what a beautiful thing to enjoy someone else enjoying what you have given them. You see, I think that this is something that we have to come back to again and again, and it's like we really need this now. It's one of the reasons why we decided to do that silly Christmas bracket that we've been doing here through the Advent season. We didn't get to have March Madness, you sports fans, and so it was like, well, what do we do? Let's just see if we can come up with various Christmas traditions, and then you guys kept voting all throughout the month and saying, okay, so I picked this one over this one, and it was kind of fun. We had some upsets and some buzzer beaters, but most of them kind of made through as we predicted. And so we're kind of down now to the finals, and you've been voting on this all week. These are the two finals in the tradition bracket. So many fun things that families have been doing. It's making cookies versus Christmas movies, watching Christmas movies. And I just want you to know, we're going to announce it now. The voting is over, and the Christmas movies wins, watching Christmas movies. Now, everybody I'm talking to is like, yes, but I have talked to a few people who have said, oh, I love the making of cookies. And what I'm trying to say is I think you can do both. Well, for me, it wouldn't be so much the making of the cookies, but I could eat Christmas cookies while I'm watching Christmas movies. You see, that brings a lot of joy. Here's the point. Seriously, there really is a point. The reason we went through all of that wasn't just to make us giggle and laugh and just kind of smile and have something to talk about in this December, but I wanted to remind you tonight that all of those traditions, whatever they were, and we're not going to go through a one shining moment for you basketball fans. We're not going to, oh, remember Elf on the Shelf, or, yeah, no, we're not going to do that. But I would just say that all of those traditions, all of those practices that have made you or your friends or your family smile throughout the years, you got to do those. You got to lean into those. It's not going to be the same. It's not. What did Kenny tell us? It's going to be different whether we like it or not. But I'm telling you, like whether you're texting, whether you're FaceTiming, whether you're on the dreaded Zoom call tomorrow, we need to continue to do this together and pursue each other in the midst of all of this. Because I would suggest to you that some of the most beautiful moments that happen, they don't happen in perfectly perfect times. How many of those do you have even on a good year? No, I think the really powerful moments of even joy come like in the middle of acknowledging God is doing something when it's not like picture perfect. So when my girls were much younger, I found out that there was going to be a reindeer, a real live reindeer with Santa at Union Station here in St. Louis. And so I kind of made a big deal about how we were going to go see Santa. We were going to see the reindeer, maybe even get to pet the reindeer. This is going to be awesome. The girls were very excited about this. I was kind of looking like, you know, a hero. It's like, yeah, Dad knows this. Let's go do that. Turns out that day, the snow started falling at a rate and in a way, you know, the big flakes where you just kind of knew it was going to pile up. And sure enough, you know, the inches kind of started stacking up, and it was going to be a day. And this fearless, maybe clueless dad said to his family, you know what? Doesn't matter. We got a four-wheel drive. It'll eat that snow up. So we just piled in some blankets and hot chocolate, and we left early. We said, you know what? We'll beat the traffic. Let's go on ahead and get in the car early. Like it was like mid-afternoon. And we're going to get down there and beat the crowd. And sure enough, we're on the highway, and we're making it just fine that snow is still really coming down. And like there was no traffic at all. And, you know, I'm on 40 here in St. Louis, and we're kind of heading into the city. And then it just all of a sudden occurs to me, wow, the traffic all seems to be heading in the other direction. It's like everybody wants to get out. And we're going in. Well, as it turns out, we get to Union Station, and that is exactly what Santa thought. Because by the time we got there, he and his reindeer, I'm sure they had a very important assignment. I'm sure, I trust all of that. But they had already left. We missed them. And so now Dad's kind of trying to figure out, what do we do? And I remember looking at Robin, and we found one restaurant that was open. We go into that restaurant. All of the other shops are closing down. We had a grand old time, but I still want a moment. It's like, oh, what are we going to do? We go into the lobby of that beautiful hotel there, and I saw a sign about horse-drawn carriages. And I thought, nah, that'd be a long shot. There's no way. No way. You guys wait here. I was not about to tell them about that because I didn't want to set them up. So I go outside, and sure enough, there's a young woman in an open carriage with her horse sitting there at what is essentially a closed down Market Street, and the snow is just falling. And I look at her and I go, I can't believe you're here. And she looks at me and she goes, I can't believe you're here. And so I kind of got the details on it all. I run back inside and say, you guys aren't going to believe this. Come follow me. We go out, we pile in. She's got all of these big thick wool blankets. We put them on. The snow is falling down. We're getting snow everywhere. And we just basically had the city to ourselves. It is as if God closed the city just for us that night. I am telling you the truth. We started just riding around. There was nothing going on. And we're singing and we're teaching the girls new songs. We're singing every song we know. The gentle hush of that snowfall had deadened things so much that we heard only our voices, and they started bouncing and slapping off of the buildings, which just made us laugh and sing and shout even louder. And someplace in the middle of all of that, two very relieved parents started thanking God for what turned into just a moment for the ages for us. But I want you to understand, it wasn't in a perfectly perfect day. Like, things could have gone differently. We just kept leaning into God. Now, I'm not telling you that it always works out that way, but I am telling you that the joy that we find in the moment when we trust God, that's what you want. Even if it's not a perfectly perfect day, He's there. Now, let's just take the sheen off of the Christmas story. When Jesus is born, it wasn't a perfect time. There was controversy surrounding that young family. He's born into a truly violent and bloody era. He's born under the shadow of a homicidal king who reports to a vast, powerful Roman Empire that just crucified people at will. And yet the angels sang, and the shepherds praised God. You see, there was good news in the middle of all of that. And really, that to me is what we want to do. That's the point of this all, is that we need joy right now, not when the season passes, not when the storm is behind us. We need joy right now. I am not saying one bit that I'm denying what some of us are facing. I'm saying that we have a conscious choice right now at this part of the story. Are we going to worship? Are we going to come to Him? Are we going to trust Him? Are we going to celebrate? In fact, some of us right now need to be doing that. You need to go on ahead and reach out in the ways I was describing and express your love. You need to send a message to people now. Speaking of which, let's go back over here and look at some of the messages that you have sent in since just, oh, I love it. I love it. Mama and Pops, yeah, this is great stuff. This is great stuff. Now, let me tell you one more time. This is stuff that's happening right now. So I want you to know that at the end of the service, when we're scrolling through all of these, you look for each other, and let's just keep encouraging each other along the way. That music's going to keep playing long after the service is over. Keep the TV turned up. Let's do this together. But the point I'm really trying to make to you is this. The joy that I'm talking about, it's so much more than happiness. It's deeper than happiness. I mean, if I was really going to explain it to you, it's the kind of joy that stands up to the struggle. It's built on this assurance that you are that loved. And from that, you face life. From that, you get to a place where you have this resilient hope, that you're absolutely sure you're not facing this alone, and you start to love each other in outrageously generous ways. We have some men and women around here every year who contact my assistant, Donna, and they're basically secret Santas. They want this to happen in completely anonymous ways, but they say, we want to bless the single parents in our church. And so Donna is the one, none of the rest of us know, and she's the one who coordinates all of this. And I would just say to you, thousands of dollars in gift cards were given this year to families in real need and blessing them. And all I can tell you is, because I wasn't there, but the shock and the tears and the joy and the gratitude, a message was sent. Those of you who are a part of the Crossing know that we're in the process of trying to give away $1,000 out of our general operating fund to other organizations that are getting things done so that we can bless them in this time. And we're just about done with that. And it's just, I'm going to share you with you those stories in January. But as we do this, we're just trying to send the message that you're not alone, that we're with you on this. When Russ Kirkland, whom I would consider one of the founding pastors of this church, who's facing a disease with the kind of grace and courage that I wish I had. But when men from his small group show up at his house and there are other families that all kind of gather together from our Mid Rivers campus and they're all standing in his front yard and they're caroling and they're singing to him, a message was sent. What kind of a message do we need to send to each other these days? I haven't forgotten you. You're not alone. God's not finished with you. I love you. God loves you. I mean, I can think of so many things that we could say to each other, and we need to say them this year. This year we need to say them. Now, I'm not just talking about this wretched virus and the havoc that is created with real health issues or economic crises or friends that are really at odds with each other because not even really sure that they agree on how all of this should happen, or parents that are tired of the online learning, or any number of other things. I'm not just talking about that. And some of you are saying, Greg, you don't even mention that. I can't even believe you're talking about it. You're talking about it too much. Well, okay, I get it. Christmas is not about COVID. I couldn't agree more. It's just not. And maybe you're at a place where it's like it hasn't touched you and it hasn't touched your family yet. And I hope it stays that way. I will tell you, it got close to me a little bit ago and then it got even closer this week. But I absolutely agree with you if you're telling me that the Christmas story isn't about COVID. Agreed. It is about a life that stretches into eternity. So, a couple of weeks ago, when a friend of mine, a lifelong friend of mine, one of my college roommates, died alone in this hospital, you kind of got to get your mind around that. And Robin and I still talk, like at least once a day, we're like, I can't believe that happened. But I remember just a few weeks ago when we had our last conversation with him, we talked about how he had grown disillusioned with some things and in the church and was struggling with some of this. But really, even in there, and by the way, I'm so grateful that I see even in the Christmas story that Joseph and Mary had their doubts along the way. But he said, even in that conversation, I still love Jesus. I still trust him. He's still mine. I'm still his. And so when I heard of his passing, the first thing that came to my mind was, now he knows. Now he knows. He knows how much he is loved. He knows. There's no struggle. There's no question. He knows. He's seen the face of Jesus. And he knows that his being, his spirit, his soul stretches beyond this little sliver of what we call time. You see, I do believe that that's what we're talking about here is an existence with God that stretches into eternity. And if you have questions about that, we have pastors right now that will talk to you. We want to help you with this right now. If that's too soon, come back in January because we're gonna have some fun and it's going to be interesting. We think God is leading us somewhere this year. So come on back in January. But I also need to tell you that it isn't just about that future. It is that. But it's also about right now. You see, I can't face the right now without him. I don't know what your right now is. It could be that you're dealing with a kind of loneliness that feels so heavy you don't know what to do with it, or an anxiety that just keeps circling around you, or maybe you're trying to figure out how to keep your company moving forward, or you just want somebody from some company to hire you, or you really are trying to teach your child geography while you're trying to do your full-time job at home, or there's a relationship that is falling apart and you're like, God, is there any hope of a reconciliation? Or maybe there's something going going on, or there's just a grudge and a hatred. It's like, God, please heal this. I don't know whatever it is you're facing. Here's what I do know. In my right now and in your right now, we do not have to face it alone. You know why? Because the story of Christmas is true, and Jesus is with us. We're going to make it through this thing, not because we're clever, not because we're creative, not because of any kind of strength that we might think we have. We're going to make it through because of Jesus. It's always Jesus. It will always be Jesus. And I'll tell you right now, the scriptures run out of ways of trying to describe who he is. Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, he is the Holy One of Israel, the Son of Righteousness, the chief cornerstone, the resurrection and the life. He is the Lamb of God and the Son of God and the Son of Man and the Lord of all. And I wish you could know him. You see, the truth is that we need a Savior. That's the point of Christmas, right? We need a Savior. Maybe some of us are dealing with fear. You don't have to fear if you're with him. Maybe some of us need that peace because Christmas is different and we're not real thrilled with that. Or maybe it really is a kind of a joy where we're just saying, I got to do this. That would be my hope and my prayer for you, that you would begin to understand just exactly what God wants to do for you this year. I do hope there's joy. I'll be honest with you. I hope you laugh so hard tomorrow that your sides hurt. But I need you to remember that joy also comes in very quiet forms. You see, if you keep reading in Luke 2, after all of the folks had kind of cleared out, at least that's the way I picture it, it says that Mary pondered these things in her heart. And I think right there was just this awareness of what God was doing. You might call it a blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. You want good news this year? Christ the Savior is born. Well, that's it, and we wanted to just say Merry Christmas. For those of you who are a part of the Crossing family, I just wanted to say thank you one more time. Thank you for your faithfulness and the way that you have encouraged us and each other this year. We really do believe that God is leading us someplace. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, come on back. We believe hope wins and God is up to something. But we're now going to experience something that has become a little bit of a tradition for us, thankfully. Aaron Latina, who is our director of programming, our programming director, I'm not even sure the right way to say that, but he is also, I would say, our composer in residence. And just in recent years, he has just gifted us with like original compositions. And we were talking, I said, Aaron, can you just take us on a journey? Because we've been on a journey this year. And he said, well, I'll give it a try. And I just want you to know now, remember, there'll be the music that'll be happening afterwards, and we want you to experience that. But right now, we wanted to give you just, you know, when all of the presents have been opened, and then somebody says, yeah, there's one more behind the tree. This is that one more gift behind the tree. So, Merry Christmas. We love you guys, and please receive this last gift.